Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
All right, well, welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. Today, my guest is David Curtin. He is a longtime political activist, pro-life, pro-family activist, who is our lobbyist in Springfield. And I was thinking about how do I introduce David this morning, and I thought of Mike Rowe and his program, Dirty Jobs. So now you don't have a dirty job where you get, you know, you have to clean your hands or something like that. It's a dirty job because there are a super majority of, let's call them snollygosters in Springfield who are, just trying to implement socialism, cultural Marxism, advance the agenda of death. And so here we are at the end of February, and David is in Springfield lobbying for us. David, give me an approximate bill count as of now. How many of bills have been introduced in this new session of the General Assembly, which has only been in, what, 5 weeks now?
5 weeks. And they've gotten over 6,000 bills filed.
6,000 bills.
And it's a record. It's a record, and they are proud of it. The supermajority is proud of it. But it is not good for the state of Illinois.
No, we've got a lot of different things that we're very concerned with. We're going to talk about the top tier of our concerns. But first, I want to get your reaction, David, to the governor's budget address, in which he, first of all, he proposed $55 billion of spending. Now, listen, folks, that's our tax money. It doesn't come from his pockets. It comes from our pockets. And he's proposing $55 billion. Now, David, in 2020, the fiscal year, now this is right before the COVID lockdowns, the Illinois state budget proposal by Pritzker was $40 million.
Billion.
That's right, billion. That's an important distinction, right? Yeah, billion with a B. So, I mean, we're talking about an increase of $15 billion in 5 years. That's $3 billion a year. This is not sustainable without massive tax hikes. More than that, here's this governor who is, can I call him a Marxist? He's implementing big government and bigger government. He's advocating for it. And yet during his speech, he called the Trump administration Nazi-like. Here's a Jewish man who's calling Trump Nazi-like. Give me your reaction to this.
I have to start with, it's a dark place in the Capitol. And I've been down here for 30 years, and it's never been this dark. I mean, you can literally feel Satan running around. It's never been this bad. And so the last few years, if anyone told me that this year we would be having a bill voting on physician-assisted suicide and legalizing prostitution in Illinois and going after homeschoolers who have the highest academic scores of and beat out public school students.
Yeah.
But we're going after them to try to shut them down or at least slow their progress. I wouldn't have believed it, but here we are. Governor Pritzker kind of put the icing on the cake yesterday or Wednesday. He came in to the General Assembly, gave his annual budget address, and he wanted to do three things. One is he wanted to present a happy outlook on the, he wanted to pat himself on the back and say, hey, we've survived these years, even though we only survived because of the federal bailout money.
Right.
The second thing he wanted to do was present a balanced budget, which constitutionally he has to do. And the third thing he wanted to do was call Donald Trump and the administration Nazis. And so he took the last third of his speech and very loudly and emotionally called all Republicans in the General Assembly Nazis, half the country Nazis. But he doesn't care. The reason he's doing that is because he's running for president in 4 years from now, 28, and his consulting team, that was red meat for the outside the state. Inside the chamber is very uncomfortable. No one liked it. And actually, the left didn't even like it. The left was incensed that they were presented a balanced budget and they didn't have more money. The media picked up the national level. They picked up all the Nazi rhetoric. Yeah, and that's what he
Wanted to
intended.
make national news.
He wanted to make national news, and those are the talking points for the left at the national level. And so that's what he was going for. But everybody inside the dome, including the left, knew that they did not like his budget. They were upset about that. They didn't say anything about the Nazis afterwards. The left didn't. They kind of yawned. But the
Well, a couple
but
things on that, David.
yeah.
I think you're absolutely right that Pritzker is pandering to the Democrat base because
Yes.
that's who's going to get, if he wants to get past the primary, obviously,
Right.
he needs to be a hero in the left wing of the Democratic Party's eyes, right?
And that's where they're at right now.
That's right. You said that the left didn't like his speech. Now, I'm going to ask you about the Nazi comment. Do you think they believe that? Do you think Pritzker really believes that in his heart? Do you think the left, most of the Democrats in the General Assembly, do they believe that?
Well, I think Pritzker certainly believes that or has convinced himself to believe that. I do. And that's something mentally going on in his head. He wants to be president so bad that he's convinced himself that's what's happening.
Sure.
The left on the progressives on the floor, they believe that. Sure, they definitely believe that. They had another agenda, and he wasn't meeting their agenda. And so they were the only reason they weren't upset about the rhetoric, but they were upset that the. Their priority, their far left budget items were not in the budget. The far left is lockstep with the rhetoric. The rhetoric, ironically, was used during the election. And so the big debate at the national level is that didn't work. It didn't work at the election. So why are they doing it now? Well, apparently they still think it's a talking point. They're just so upset with all the Doge savings,
Yes, yeah.
all the stuff coming out, checks to dead people and foreign aid that doesn't make any sense.
What was the response of some Republicans in the chamber? I understand that Republican representatives, Brad Helbrook and Chris Miller, walked out. Were they the only two that walked out during that part of the speech?
Well, and they were wearing MAGA hats too. And they booed. And you can see in the clip where Governor Pritzker says, "You can boo all you want," but they were respectful though. It didn't make for a raucous scene or anything, a raucous scene. Just
Democrats are really upset that the Trump administration is cutting all kinds of funding, and that's
yes.
affecting what's coming to Illinois, right?
That's correct. And it's stuff that's near and dear to their heart, the
Sure.
DEI. Calling a cat a dog and a dog a cat. You're calling up, down, and down, up.
And
They
boys,
want that
girls, and girls,
money.
boys.
A man to woman, a woman to man. They are so upset. They're beside themselves, and they're actually going a little crazy, I think. But he is doing that. Most of the public supports that. So there are Republicans that get up on the floor every day and make speeches about how finally we've got some common sense at the national level. And then the Democrats get very upset and say, "This is wrong. This is wrong." And so they're still fighting it out on the Republicans have newfound strength and power and voice, and the Democrats are finding themselves in a very weird position, a awkward position, because they have a supermajority in each chamber. They cannot understand why they're losing this power. So
That's interesting. All right, well, let's turn to some of the legislation that we're really concerned about. Probably top of the of our list is the physician-assisted suicide bill, Senate Bill 9. There's another House bill also, but I think Senate Bill 9 is the one that's moving at the moment as far as getting a hearing and such like that. This would legalize physician-assisted suicide in Illinois. So my point is, we've done all we can to facilitate Planned Parenthood and big abortion to kill as many preborn babies as they possibly can, probably even live birth abortions afterwards, those babies who have burned alive afterwards, so infanticide, we'll just call it child sacrifice. And so they're turning now to the other end of life, the end of the other spectrum, and saying, hey, let's help people with disabilities and terminal illnesses and pain and their lives. And of course, they call it with dignity. David, is there much traction in the supermajority of Democrats in Springfield for this?
What they're doing is their strategy is that this is just another form of palliative care. This is another form of hospice. And so the argument they're making, they have a supermajority, so they don't need all the Democrats.
They need and 60 votes in the House, and they need 30 votes in the Senate.
That's correct. They've got more than enough votes to work with. However, they don't have the votes yet to pass it because it is such a jarring thing. I mean, having a physician give two pills to a patient to go home and kill themselves, that's not exactly what physicians are lined up to do. So we were not surprised. It's been a national effort, a very organized national effort. I say a satanic effort.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
I mean, if you can't kill them at the front end, you kill them at the back end.
That's
and
right.
so that's what they're trying to do. And that's there's a lot of money behind this, David. It's being driven by a lot of money in the insurance industry. The insurance industry would have to pay $3 for two pills rather than $100,000 to keep someone alive for another 10 years.
That's right. That's a really very good point. I did talk to a state representative, a Democrat, about this bill, and he told me he is against this bill as it is written, but he is open to the idea of assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. I went on and pointed out how it's been abused and the slippery slope and how it actually, he wants it tightened up, the current bill. He wants more safeguards.
Yeah.
And I pointed out that over the years, they get loosened up and expanded, right?
That's correct.
Here, let me read you this about Oregon. Legalized in 1997 to give terminally ill people the ability to end their lives. The most recent Oregon report includes death due to anorexia, arthritis, blood disease, complications from a fall, hernia, kidney failure, medical care complications, musculoskeletal system disorders. You want to talk about opening up things. And now also there's I don't remember where it is, but they're talking about euthanizing people with depression, which is a highly treatable condition. The slippery slope. Do they understand what they're opening the door to?
Well, the left understands
because
what this does is they want to take God out of the equation. They've taken God out of the equation on life, on abortion. They've said, this is our decision. We're the God. And they're doing it on this other spectrum. We decide when we go. And this is America, and there's a libertarian streak in there. So, it's all because God has been taken out of the picture. You will not hear any mention of God in the committee hearings unless a conservative senator brings it up. And there will be one today that brings it up. But
yes, good. Yeah, State Senator Chris Baucoma, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's the point. And I think there are maybe some inner city lawmakers who may have a fear of God. And when we point this out to them, that look, God is the author of life. Even suffering he can use to help us and deepen our faith in him. And people don't understand that. They just want an easy out. I had a friend who suffered from bone cancer, David, for many years, and it was very painful. But his witness during that suffering and what God was doing in his life and his family's life, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And so we support to change God.
Well, in 2025, we've got the drugs and palliative care for people for most of the pain. And people just want to be the decider of life and death. And that's coming directly from Satan. And that's where the far left is. They want to be able to control the life and death of people. And that's just their.
And we can't underscore the point that this is really about money, too. The healthcare insurance industry really wants to be able to cut the lifeline, if you will, if it means saving them gobs of money.
Yeah, something this big usually has several big things behind it, motivations. And money is usually the biggest motivation behind it.
Money, as they say, right?
So that's how they legalized marijuana. They talked about the big money streams that would come in. That's how they got some people on board and other things I could talk about.
Gambling.
But but there are usually several big things, and that's one of them.
All right. Well, let's turn to the other bill, another bill that we're concerned about. That's House Bill 2827, sponsored by Tara Constance Howard. Did I say that right?
Costa Howard.
All right. And she's from the Glen Ellen Lyle area in the suburbs, DuPage County. But there are eight other sponsors of this bill, which would regulate homeschooling and private schooling in the state of Illinois. Ironically, David, over the years, we have been thrilled to be able to say that Illinois is one of the best states in the nation for homeschooling.
Yeah.
We have freedom, especially for Christians. We're accountable to God, and that's the way we want it. And most Christian schools, too, are going to say, we're accountable to God Almighty. And so now the government here comes along and says, no, we want to regulate you and monitor you and make sure that you're towing the line. What does it look like in Springfield on that?
Well, that's going to be a tough one because there are people that say, they'll bring up one story and they've got their story and it's a needle in a haystack story. It's not representative of 99% of homeschoolers, but they'll bring up that one bad story of that one kid who was abused and not getting an education.
That's right.
And so that's what they're going to do.
We don't make policy based on, anecdotal evidence, right?
Oh, very much so. Exceptional evidence. I mean, it's the exception to the rule.
There you go.
I mean, no one's been able to, everyone's recognized the great degree to which homeschoolers turn out kids who are Christian and high academically. There are college presidents I talk to who ask me if we'll provide a pipeline of homeschoolers to them. Because they don't get the kids. They have the kids that need remedial reading before they get in college.
I'll tell you my family is homeschooling. My oldest son is in his mid-20s now. But when he went to community college after graduating high school from our home, he was actually asked to tutor math to other kids because he was so good.
Yeah.
And the vast number of kids coming into college today, or at least in this community college, needed to take remedial courses because they weren't up to speed.
Yeah. And that's not an isolated incident. Talk about a trend. That has been the trend at colleges and universities for a number of years. And it's getting worse. This whole effort started because the teachers' unions who control the leftist ideology agenda in the schools, and they control it because all the teachers have to pay into a portion of their salaries into the union to be represented by it. So they've got this pot of money, and they're the most effective, or they're the most powerful union in Illinois. And they every year they come to the State Board of Education comes to the, which is controlled by the teachers union, comes into the committee room and asks for more money, hundreds of millions of dollars more money every single year.
That's right.
And the first question that's asked is, why are you asking for more money? The Republican asks, why are you asking for more money if you're losing students? You're going down in enrollment. You're doing worse. Why are you doing that? Now, they have to come up with an answer, and they have their answer, but it's not a good one. But since the Democrats are in the supermajority, they let it slide. They rang the alarm bells a couple of years ago at the national level when they found that during the pandemic, homeschooling doubled because parents got a Zoom window into the classroom and saw how bad it was. And then after the pandemic, everybody thought it'd be like a rubber band and go back to the way it was. And the Washington Post did an article a year after the pandemic ended and found that it was increasing faster than it was in the pandemic. So the alarm bells rang in at the national level, and they said, we got to do something about this. So they've been putting legislation in a lot of different states. They're landing in Illinois now to put the same legislation to try to regulate homeschoolers. They're losing a lot of kids. It's just it's becoming a problem. It's becoming a problem in the public school system. And it's not just liberals, but conservatives who are taking their kids out of schools. So obviously liberals are taking them out because of safety. They aren't learning. Conservatives are taking them out because of safety. They aren't learning. And
A corrupt curriculum. So,
so.
on that funding front, I love that point that you make, that why do you want more money? But I think it was WirePoints or Illinois Policy who have demonstrated the growth of the administrative part of school districts, right? We're not hiring more teachers, we're hiring more administrators, which is crazy. Which brings me to the next point. This bill would require truant officers to go out and to monitor and investigate home educators, and I assume even private school progress and compliance with the law, right? And so that would require more truant officers to be hired. It would require them probably to be union members too, right, David? And so, this is
They
a
would
way to bolster those numbers.
They've got to stop the bleeding, and they want to stop the bleeding. And so it makes someone scared to, do their homeschool. It's a tough undertaking to do your homeschooling, right? And you get together with all the other parents who have done it, and then you, but it's a lot of work. They're trying to stifle the families that are wanting to do it. It's now become a pretty normal thing. It used to be just kind of a specialized thing, and now it's becoming very normalized where people are really wanting to do it.
Fear that I have, and many other homeschoolers is also is, once the government gets a foot in the door, that's going to open the door wider to mandating other things, not just filing with us, a report with us every year or every school year. But you know what? You need to do LGBT history training, to do comprehensive, quote unquote, sex education. And here's the curriculum, right? So you need to show a proficiency there. Of course, that is a requirement that they're putting out there and have mandated already. Yet at the same time, let's turn and look about the bleeding. You were talking about stop the bleeding. Well, 866 school districts. Well, we have a proficiency report card given by the Illinois State Board of Education says that only 31% of our kids are proficient in English language arts. Only 26% are efficient in math. Only 53% are proficient in science, yet they're graduating 88% of the kids. How can they graduate 88% with a reading level like this, proficiency? I think it was WirePoints that also reported $29,000 on average, $29,000 spent per pupil. For those results, our state lawmakers really need to go and look and get a handle on what's happening in the public education system rather than looking at homeschoolers and private schoolers. And then on top of that, David, just we know that sexual abuse of our children is running rampant in the schools. Chicago Tribune did a report a few years ago demonstrating 540 cases documented over a 10-year period. That's more than one a week, more than one a week happening in the Chicago public school system. How many more didn't go report it, number one? And to think that it's only isolated to the Chicago public schools is really naive. This is a serious problem. So the abuses that are going on in our schools really need the attention of our government officials. They should be looking at this and getting a handle on that instead of looking for other places they can expand their authority.
And it really is a five alarm fire for the schools. I mean, they are burning with indoctrination, failing kids, killing kids,
That's right.
shootings. There's just so much over there that, it's almost like saying, well, except for that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? It's like, it just doesn't make sense. But they do have the majority, and so that doesn't matter. They do have their agenda, and that's what matters, and that's what they're going for. And you mentioned the camel's nose under the tent. This bill, all it does is ask them to register with the state. They'll send truancy officers out to check on people, and they have to file a report every year on what they're teaching. And who wouldn't be against that? Well, they're duping some legislators to say, well, that isn't too unreasonable. That's exactly the first step. And the next step we know is the indoctrination, and you have to teach this and you have to teach that. Homeschoolers are aware of it. March 6th, we're having a rally in Springfield at the Capitol, and we encourage everybody to come down for that. We need thousands of people. That would make a difference to legislators to hold off on this legislation.
Yeah, we need to have a strong showing on March 6th at the Illinois State Capitol. Illinois Christian Home Educators is organizing this. If you want more information, iche.org. It's called their Cherry Pie Day. That's what the euphemism, I guess, that we use to talk about Lobby Day. And it's an annual event where homeschool families get together at the Capitol with homemade cherry pies. Now, some of us go to the bakery and get one, but anyway, and bring it down to the Capitol. And then we disperse it. Each lawmaker will get one. Oftentimes, the staff gets one, and the guards in the Capitol get one. One year, we had so many pies that the Supreme Court justices and their staff got cherry pies. And so here's the thing is, hey, we're coming to say thank you for the freedoms that we have in Illinois. We appreciate you serving in government. Now, please leave us alone.
Right. That's what they've been doing every year. But this year, the Democrats have thrown down the gauntlet, and this is the time to come down, because this is, this is D-Day for them, because
right.
There are enough votes to pass this legislation that would ruin homeschooling.
Again, they need 60 votes, and they've got how many? 72 Democrats? Right?
72 Democrats, and they have 60. Last time they tried something like this, I think it was 10 or 15 years ago, and there was such an outpouring of homeschooling support, 2013, that they were scared. They were scared. So the crowd size does matter. And so that's why we think we can still stop it this time if we have enough people.
Yeah, we need to help them see the light. And of course, if they don't see the light in the next election, maybe they'll feel the heat of the electorate. We'll see.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, I'll give some more call to action on this in a minute. But lastly, because we're running out of time, I want to talk about the bills to legalize prostitution in the state of Illinois.
There's two bills to, or no, I'm sorry, one bill to legalize prostitution. And right now, the left is trying to round up the votes before they hold it for a hearing. What this bill would do, they call it compassion and care for sex workers. So what they're trying to do, they want to legalize prostitution. That's their agenda. The way they're selling it is, it's a dangerous occupation. And so therefore we need to have regulations so the police can get involved and protect these women from any abuse. And we ought to reward them with all the wages and benefits that corporations have out there. And this is just
help them unionize.
But it's, one of those things where people are naturally recoiling at this thought. And so they have a lot of work to do. That's the way they're going to sell it. And they do have, they're trying to get the votes. They're close, but we think we can hold them off if we have enough people sign in witness slips when we hold a hearing. But they haven't held a hearing yet. So
I've got House Bill 3518 sponsored by Will Guzzardi, Senate Bill 2391 by Selena Villanueva. It says here decriminalizes prostitution and expunges criminal records, So if you've been arrested multiple times in the past for prostitution, they want to wipe that away and say, okay, no more. But
right.
David, you mentioned that women are most likely to be the prostitutes. But I'll tell you what, there is a growing industry of men as well who are selling themselves. And also, let's not overlook the fact that there are human trafficking victims involved in sex work,
right.
not willingly, but they're being forced into this, you know, by the cartels, by the gangs, you know, and all that. And
Right.
so this is actually going to give them cover to do this legally, you know?
Right. That's a big problem, because there's this whole human trafficking thing is a lot of it is prostitution.
And then there's the other health, the public health aspect to this all. By allowing this to go on, we're going to see even more STIs, sexually transmitted infections. And is this really a good thing?
Oh, it's a terrible thing. It's destructive to the our social life. It's destructive to the family. It's destructive to teaching our kids the absolute wrong moral values. It's wrong in every way. The reason they can do it is because they can propose it is because they've got the supermajority. They Senator Villanueva in the Senate is a sponsor of the bill. And she is the one who got up on the Senate floor and answered a question that was asked of her. If the crown is sticking out of the womb, is the baby still liable to an abortion? And she said, in effect, yes. The baby has to be fully born before it has full person rights. And there was a great silence in the chamber. You could have heard a pin drop. And they passed that bill, which would allow, in that case, it was an abortion bill, one of the many abortion bills that passed. She's no stranger to these kinds of bills. It's women's rights over anything else, and she'll argue it as a women's rights bill. And it's just out of the left playbook. It doesn't make any sense. It destroys women.
Yeah, absolutely. She's an extremist. Yeah. So, I mean, what we're talking about, if this bill passes, we're talking about our business centers and our business districts and our communities. You're going to have the saloon next to the mini casino, next to the weed shop, next to the brothel.
That's exactly right.
You
That
know,
is exactly right.
and of
If you
course,
like all the slot casinos going up, if you love smelling the marijuana in the air, if you love, you're going to love this because the prostitutes will be hanging out in the street and you won't be able to go to a movie with your little son or daughter because they'll be scantily clad. And it's just, it makes it taking us so far back in time.
it's like the Netherlands. Isn't it the Netherlands that have legalized
Yeah.
prostitution? You'll have red light districts and you'll have scantily clad prostitutes in windows,
In windows. Yeah.
advertising saying, come hither. You
Yeah.
talk about scripture, talking about the siren, right?
Yeah.
Come here, you know. So these are all kinds of snares that the devil is laying out to trap people in and to ensnare them, handicap them, injure them. And this is why we're doing what we do, because we love our neighbors. Listen, David, you're probably not going to have any problem with any of these bills or these concepts. You're not going to go to these places. I'm not going to
No.
go to these places. I'm raising my kids to avoid these things. But because we love our neighbor,
Right.
as the Lord told us to do, we're advocating for good public policy, not public policies that is going to ensnare, disable, disease, spread disease
Right.
among our neighbors. And
Right.
this is what's happening. So, with that said, thank you, David, for joining us. I'm just going to encourage people to go to illinoisfamily.org, our website. Go there every day. Look to see what we're doing, what alerts are on there. Sign up for our emails because we will send out email alerts. This past week, we sent out an email alert about the suicide bill and encouraged people to sign witness slips. And within 24 hours, there were over 1,000 of you who signed those witness slips in opposition to that bill. By the way, the Catholic Conference and Illinois Right to Life did it a couple days later, and bam, another couple thousand did it as well. So it's very important that we stand strong, speak loudly, kindly, and winsomely, but let them know, hey, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize that point. I'm in Springfield. I'm 15 minutes from the Capitol. When I go into a committee hearing room, the very first thing the far left looks at are the witness slips. Who's filed against the bill and who's filed for it? And they will announce it publicly. And it is the most effective way you can get your voice heard while you're in Chicago or you're in the city or you're in the suburbs or you're in Lake County. It's the most effective way you can get your voice heard. Sometimes we send out a lot of alerts, but that's because there's a lot of bad bills. But when we send out alerts, we are actually not sending out alerts on some other bad bills. We're sending out alerts that are going to be happening right now.
That's right.
And if you can
Take
participate
action.
in that, it
Yep.
makes a big difference. And we've been doing very well. Thank you, everybody, for doing that, and keep it up.
Yes, thank you. Tis the season for email alerts, right? And take action. It's the season. The General Assembly is scheduled to adjourn at the end of May. And so if you can bear with a couple months of this kind of call to actions, we really appreciate it. The bare minimum, sign up on those witness slips, send an email. And if you want to take more action, show up to lobby days like March 6th for Illinois Christian Home Educators. That's
Absolutely.
that's a great way. And of course, if you want to go visit your state lawmaker in the district, whether it's the state representative or the state senator, we encourage that too. Go talk to them, let them know, build a relationship with them. Ask them how you can pray for them. That might be shocking to them. What?
Yes.
Wait, what? A voter wants to pray for me?
Yeah, and I pray for them every night.
Amen.
And I pray for the far left just as much as I do for the our good guys.
Yeah, well, including J.B. Pritzker, because he needs a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
That's for sure. His thinking is defiled, for sure. Anyway, thank you, David Curtin, for your service to the people of Illinois
Thank
in
you.
Springfield, and God bless you.
Thanks for having me.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.